Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now it's the time on All of It to take a trip into the WNYC archives with the help of the station's chief archivist, Andy Lancet.
This is the Municipal Broadcasting System. New York City's own station, WNYC, in the city where more than 7 million people live in peace and enjoy the benefits of democracy.
This hour, we've heard about some truly cosmic ideas. So in keeping with this theme, we thought we'd bring you a segment all about how the station has covered news about outer space throughout our history. Usually, Andy joins me for the segment, but due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, most of the station's staff, they're working from home. So this week, Andy found us some clips to help tell the story, and I'll be introducing them myself. To start off with, we're going to hear some incredible audio from an actual rocket launch way back in 1962. What you're about to hear is actual audio of the astronaut John Glenn, who was the first American to orbit the Earth. His spacecraft was the Friendship 7, and the montage we're about to play is from news coverage of this mission called Mercury 6. Keep in mind, the audio is a bit noisy because it was recorded in a spacecraft in 1962.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Liftoff. The clock is operating. We're underway.
Roger. Reading you loud and clear.
Roger. We're programming and roll okay. A little bumpy along about here.
Roger.
Oxygen is 70/100. Amps 22. Only really unusual thing so far beside ASCS trouble were the little particles, luminous particles around the capsule, just thousands of them, right at sunrise over the Pacific. Over.
Roger, 7, we have all that. Looks like you're in good shape. Remain on fly-by-wire for the moment.
Roger, Friendship 7.
That was astronaut John Glenn. Next up is an interview that dovetails nicely with the interview I did with Andrianne at the top of this hour. Here she is with her husband, the Pulitzer Prize-winning astronomer Dr. Carl Sagan, being interviewed by WQXR's Lloyd Moss in 1985. They're discussing the Voyager Interstellar Record Project, which was Drianne's and Sagan's first collaboration together.
At the time that the mission was being planned, the question was posed, what would be the most cost-effective way to include a message, since we're sending the spacecraft anyway, to add a message, a greeting? It turned out that the most efficient way to send information is on a phonograph record. And so affixed to each of the Voyager spacecraft are two golden phonograph records, along with a stylus, and instructions for play engraved in the outer cover of the record, should a spacefaring civilization come upon it.
And they're also getting music, I understand.
Yes. Now, let me just say one thing about the record. The spacecraft are, as Annie says, on missions of exploration and discovery in the outer solar system. But by an accident of celestial mechanics, after that mission is done, they are flung out of the solar system into the interstellar dark. Now, that is a very benign environment, and a record out there can survive for something like a billion years. In a billion years, the spacecraft will circumnavigate the Milky Way galaxy 4 times. So there's an awful long period of time in which they could be encountered by someone else. So it's that context in which these records have been affixed. Now, on the records are 116 pictures encoded digitally. There are greetings in 60 human languages and one whale language, and there's an hour and a half of the world's great music. Now, we don't imagine that an extraterrestrial being sometime in the far future will understand a hello or the equivalent, but nevertheless, there are greetings in all these languages. We hope that the pictorial material will be clear, but you could argue that maybe some of that would be obscure. And the music is the real issue. Is it possible that creatures that are very different from us, with very different histories, might nevertheless be able to understand something of our feelings, our emotions, from the music that we send?
That was Carl Sagan and Andrianne on WQXR's This Is My Music program back in 1985. Our next and final clip is of someone you may have heard on this segment back in October, but it's such an interesting interview that we thought we should play you another soundbite from it. You're about to hear an interview the station re-aired on October 11th, 1968, with science and sci-fi writer Sir Arthur C. Clarke. He talks with Patricia Marks, who hosted a weekly series where she spoke with many creative minds of the 60s, including George Balanchine and Lorraine Hansberry. Clarke collaborated with the filmmaker Stanley Kubrick on the screenplay for 2001 A Space Odyssey, and here he is discussing where science and sci-fi meet.
The main story of the film is an expedition out to Jupiter to see where this signal leads, and out among the moons of Jupiter, the real action of the movie starts.
Now, is this science fiction fiction in the sense of having being completely fantastic and having no basis in the realm of the possible?
Oh, it's entirely science. I mean, everything in it is factual. It could happen. It's based entirely on scientific realities, and no pains or expense have been spared to make it as realistic as possible.
So you're saying actually that in the year 2001 this actually might happen?
Well, certainly in the next century. I mean, obviously, I don't predict that when we get to the moon we will find evidence of extraterrestrial life there, of higher intelligences. But all this kind of thing could happen, and eventually something like this, I believe, will happen. I don't guarantee it will happen in the year 2001.
That was science and sci-fi writer Sir Arthur C. Clarke talking about his collaboration with the filmmaker Stanley Kubrick on the screenplay for 2001 A Space Odyssey. And listeners, you can get the New York Public Radio History Notes newsletter delivered straight to your email box every Friday by subscribing at wnyc.org/newsletters. And to hear more past programs, click on the archive show link at the bottom of the wnyc.org homepage. Thanks for help today from the one and only Andy Lancet and the New York City Municipal Archives.
WNYC Studios is supported by the Community of Writers, presenting live online short courses in the Writers' Annex. Upcoming in 2024, Sylvia Plath, James Joyce's Ulysses, and Emily Dickinson. Instructors include Victoria Chang, Robert Haas, Brenda Hillman, Peter Orner, and Matthew Zapruder. Learn more at communityofwriters.org.